In an ever-changing world, Off Hollywood Media presents a voice of truth and inspiration, resonating a vibration of love and understanding, illuminating new paths and new directions as we, as one, strive for higher and higher planes of existence, always remembering life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before, and now your host, our MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Thank you, Mark, and ciao, everybody. You heard Mark crack up there at the beginning, and we keep saying we should have video of our show, and today we're actually testing it out here to see how we might could do it, and so then you know what we're cracking up about, but I'm not going to tell you now. Actually, there really doesn't have to be a reason. We just have so much fun, and it's part of the impetus, right? Impetus, not impetus. Impetus of the show. Why are you looking at me like that? Did I say it right? Impetus. Okay, that's part of the impetus of the show. Is we laugh, we have fun. I mean, it's like we all need so much more of this in our lives. And so anyway, so here we are. We're testing the camera. And we've got all these lights on, and it's really hot in here, and it's so bright, and it's all so new. But yet another step in the evolution of the Life Changes show, and it's getting really, really exciting. So you also might have noticed that we were saying Life Changes instead of Life Changes with Filippo. In actuality, it's changing constantly because of all of us. And so we're adopting this name, Life Changes, is more general and more encompassing of all of us, and that's really exciting to me. The master of change thing, I'm still not sure about. God knows I have changed quite a bit, but I feel like I still have quite a bit more to go. And it's interesting because as I told everybody I wasn't going to tell this story, and everybody insisted that I do, and I said no, no, no. And then finally, a friend gave me a different perspective on it, and she said, you know, you really should share this on the radio. And I thought, okay. So speaking of change, at our first live event, when was it, about 3 or 4 months ago, I had just found out before going on stage that somebody had asked me at the event if I would be part of a bachelor auction. And I immediately said, absolutely not. It's not my thing, and I'm not interested. And she said, oh, it's not what you think it is. They're auctioning off heroes. So there'll be policemen there and firemen and construction workers. Policemen and firemen and people like you who are out there changing the world, and you're heroes. And I said, interesting. She says, you'll get to talk about the show and what you're doing on the show and how you're helping change the world. And so I thought about it, and then I said, of course not. So I just didn't want to do this. And so finally, several people said, you know, Filippo, there's a reason the universe is bringing this to you. Maybe somehow you've asked for this. Just say yes, and it's for a good cause. And so I said yes. Anyway, I get there. And little did I know that the firemen and the policemen were firemen and policemen strippers, not the real life thing. Or I don't know if they were the real life thing, but to me they looked like strippers. I mean, they were these young, buff guys, and I have a body conscious issue as it is. And I'm standing there with all these guys, and I thought, I'm just not going to do it. I mean, really, what could be the harm? I just won't do it. And so basically they convinced me that it's not what you think, and everybody's going to get up there, and they're just going to, you know, stand there and talk a little bit about, I mean, I'm buying this, and I think they meant it. But for some reason, the host, who was this hotshot from some television show that in Hollywood and blah, 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 and he's this guy, and he's all about, you know, his show evidently is sexy and dating and all that stuff. So the first guy gets up there, and he says, let's turn some music on him and see if he can move. And the guy starts to dance, and he was a professional dancer. So he's making some good moves up there, and the women are going crazy. And he says, if that shirt goes off, the price goes up, and the shirt came off. And the price went up. And I'm like, I'm not going to do this. I'm really not going to do this. And a couple of guys backed out. And I'm thinking, okay, well, I could back out too. So I talked to some friends of mine that were there, and they said, no, Filippo, it's just this guy is a professional dancer. And besides, you get up there and you do what you do, and it's going to be great. So this guy got, they auctioned him off, and it was great. And the next guy came on, and his shirt comes off right away. And so then he starts teasing like he's going to take his pants off, but he doesn't. But then he starts throwing beads or stuff out in the audience, and the women are going crazy. And I thought, I'm totally not equipped for this. And by now, I'm sweating bullets, and I'm thinking I'm in the wrong place at the wrong time doing the absolutely wrong thing. And I felt like, give me a sign as to why I am really here. And no sign was a-coming. And so, again, I gathered my friends together, and I said, look, this is not good. It's not good for the show. It's not good for what we're doing here. To be on this video, seeing people... It just, this is not what we're about. And at the moment, it was so loud. They were trying to give me advice, but the overall, it was just like, do it, do it. There's a reason you got to do it. And so the next guy came, and he took his pants off. And to me, that was the last straw. And I just left my friends behind, and I'm out the door. And I stopped myself, and I thought, there's got to be a reason that each step of the way I've been led here. And maybe there's some good in this for me, and maybe there's something I got to deal with here. And there was a lot that I had to deal with. I had to deal with my own self-confidence. I had to deal with my ego in thinking that, gosh, I'm not going to get very much money because they're going to want me to take my shirt off, and I'm not going to, and they're going to want me to dance, and I'm not going to, and I'm going to be the cheapest guy here that gets the least money, and there goes my ego and all of this stuff coming into play. And I thought, I'm better than this. Like, I can take this to another level. Well, I don't know how and what, but there it is. So they finally call out my name, and I get out there, and I'm dressed in a jacket and a shirt and jeans. And I get out there, and I just stood there on the runway, and I smiled. And he said, the host said, I understand you sing. And I said, you know what? I do. And I grabbed the mic from him without even saying anything. And I grabbed the mic, and I belted out a couple lines in Italian, and then I started singing in Italian as well. And for a split second, the whole room got quiet. And that was really weird because there was nothing but hooting and hollering up until that point. And I thought, oh, shit, what do I do with this? And so then they started the betting. And then it started getting loud again. I'm like, it can't be. It's impossible. What? They're actually bidding on me, and the price is going up. And I thought, wow, this is interesting. And the host says, okay, let's get some music out so he can dance. And I looked at everybody, and I smiled. I looked at him, and I smiled. I shook my head. I'm not going there. And I just went back to just standing there and smiling. And the bid went up. And no, I didn't get the highest bid of the night, but I got a decent bid. Like, this is important to me all of a sudden. And I walk off that stage, and a bunch of people walked up to me, and they said, wow, you just changed everything. And I thought, what? I don't get it. And this is what my friend said to me. When I was telling her this story, because she knew, and she said, so what happened? Tell me. And I said, I was embarrassed to be there. I was at the wrong place at the wrong time. And everybody got quiet, and I felt like I kind of ruined it for the women. Because they were there, and I think they wanted, like, you know, they're into their sex mode, or they're into their... whatever, and I kind of took it someplace else. And she said, yeah, you took it to romance. You took it to love. You took it to respect. And there's nothing wrong with all the other stuff, but you brought a balance. And I wish I had been there to see it. And I would have been on that, absolutely. And I thought, whoa. And she said, and you know, and I'm surprised with you. My God, the show's named Life Changes with Filippo, for God's sakes. And everywhere you are, life changes, right? It's the same with all of us who are conscious about that. So if that's what's really happening, then wherever you are, allow yourself to be who you are and let the changes happen. And so up until I actually stepped on that stage, I was pretending to, I don't know, I was nervous about something. But as soon as I stepped on that stage, I knew exactly what to do, and I was me. And me, affected people in a certain way where they bid on it, and then they came afterwards and said so many wonderful things, and I am so grateful for that experience. Now, the reason I didn't want to share with it on radio is because I had to talk about all my embarrassment and body issues up until and all that stuff, but also because I didn't want to give any more energy because I don't want to be doing any more of that. And then the next thing I know, I get invited to do something else. And that I'll tell you about next week because I don't want to take up any more time. But there's another lesson in what I got invited to do, which is a whole other thing. I'll just share. It was a comedy club event this past weekend. So that I call that my stripper night, which obviously I didn't strip, but it was certainly an experience, and that's how I titled that. And that's the lesson I got out of it, to be who I am everywhere I every time, and allow the changes to happen with me, because of me, around me, and to me. And so with that, we have a guest on our show who has had many changes in her life too, and I can't wait to talk about them, because some of them to me are hysterical. And she is a very funny lady. She is so much fun. I'm so glad we met her through one of our producers, Mark Skelton, and a friend of his, Sefton, what's his last name?
Sefton Freeman Bond.
Anyway, so we got to know Suzanne Taylor, who's the founder of the nonprofit Mighty Companions. And she has been involved in films since she graduated Phi Beta Kappa and summa cum laude from NYU. Having been an actress, she crossed over to the other side of the camera as the executive producer and director of the 2009 EBE award-winning film, What on Earth? Inside the Crop Circle Mystery. She will change the way you look at this phenomena forever. We're talking, of course, about the phenomena of crop circles, and our guest is Suzanne Taylor. Suzanne, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. We will only change your mind if you don't really know about crop circles, because if you do, you're in there.
More power to you, absolutely. Well, you know, actually, no, because people do know about crop circles, a lot of people.
Wrong.
In a wrong way, right.
Many wrong.
Right.
Much wrong.
Exactly. And so we'll talk about that. But we had you at our live event. And we
did.
We had the pleasure of having your presence at our live event this past Wednesday.
I thought it was more fun than it actually was. No, it was good.
But it was fun.
It was good. I had a really good time.
It was more fun than you actually thought it would be, you have to admit.
Oh, it's definitely fun because you're fun.
Oh, and so are you. Thank you very much.
Mutual fun society.
Yes. Well, we're a mutual a lot of things because we agree about a lot. And So at the event, I got to interview you and show a clip of your movie, What on Earth, the Inside the Crop Circle Mystery, yes, that will be premiering in September.
Well, we'll have a preview in September.
Oh, okay.
September 27th, Whitley Strieber is going to introduce it.
Wow.
At a theater downtown. I should know the name of it, shouldn't I? But if they get on your website,
we'll put it on.
Yes.
Absolutely. At lifechangeswithfilippo.com. And so, at the event, I just off the wall because I know you a little bit now, started to talk about something that wasn't exactly crop circles.
And the audience,
and the audience went crazy. So I said, oh, we gotta do this with the radio audience. And so I have to say that some of you, if you go to the website and look at the picture, you'll recognize her as the Charmin lady.
Well, if you have a long memory, you will recognize her as the one who was squeezing all those Charmins that Mr. Whipple didn't like at all. Mr. Whipple!
And you didn't just do one of those.
No, I did several of them. But not as many as Mr. Whipple did. What? Do you know what a career that was? Whoa!
Wow.
Well, may not have been artistic, but it was very remunerative.
Kind of like the Where's the Beef lady.
Really, really. We all pray in life we should get something like that.
Well, you have something very special on your hands, actually. And so talk about career and talk about changes. You started out in life wanting to be an actress. And, of course, you ended up being an actress. But the irony of it here is that you had potential because of your talent and because of the group of people you hung around with and because of who you were married to be on all kinds in the shows.
Well, except that what I was married to didn't want me to be on any shows, so there you go. I mean, all of his friends were the ones who should have been hiring me because I was doing comedy and housewives and situation comedy. But they were all my husband's best friends who produced all those shows, so that became a little sticky.
And so all those shows that we're talking about are little shows that you may have heard of, like, oh, the Dick Van Dyke Show and the Mary Tyler Moore
Show. Yes, he was the head writer of the Dick Van Dyke Show, and he created Marlo Thomas' show, That Girl. I actually did a part on, I played Mary's old best friend who came on, you know, the Ann Gilbert who played her best friend on the show?
Right.
Well, I was the old best friend from college, and it created quite a little scene there.
Oh, interesting.
Yes, a little jealousy going on, but I had a good part in that, actually.
I'll have to see if I can get a hold of that episode. But you hung around with all these people, and
well, those funny people, Mel Brooks and Sid Caesar and Carl Reiner and Mary and Dick, and that was a very happy group, actually. They had a lot of fun. They really did.
Well, you all had a lot of fun.
Well, no, they had a lot of fun. I was home with the babies. Are you kidding?
And that's the irony of it, because your husband created that girl who was a liberated woman.
A liberated woman, yes. He would go off to work in the morning and say, oh, God, what a shame. I have to go do this hard work, and you get this privilege of staying home with the children.
When you wanted to be out there. And you still found a way to get out there right now.
I mean, we didn't want to.
No,
because they may be listening.
No, we hope they are. No.
But it was, you know, it was before women's lib. So women weren't really supposed to be out of the home, but that was not good for us women, you know? Mm. Us women who had talents and ambitions and, you know, drive and whatever. And kids are great, but, you know, they're sort of a limited field of endeavor and interest and whatever.
Well, and there's a way nowadays to take care of all those needs. And so
that's still difficult. We don't really have society set up right. We should be in communal living, you know, where it's really easy to leave the kids in the community. But it's hard for women
like
now.
Like it takes a village?
Yeah, it's really hard for women now who go off and work and have to get child care and what have you. We don't have it set up very well. But at least women have permission not to be so stilted, you know, and contracted the way we were supposed to be and, you know, take it and love it. But, you know, it frustrated us, which is where Women's Lib came from.
Right, exactly. And the interesting thing is, too, is that you still found a way to artistically have somewhat of a career.
Oh, I had a good career, actually, making commercials, because I could do them one day at a time.
Right.
It wasn't a commitment, you know.
Wouldn't have to go off for a while.
I could sneak off, and I would frequently take, like, a bassinet to the audition. You know, I couldn't do it when I did a job, but for auditions, you could take your babies with you, you know. Everybody did that. It was sort of okay.
Wow. That's fascinating to me. And so there you had that, but obviously that wasn't enough for you, because you were... Well, and you were feeling all kinds of things. Let's start off with what you started to experience going within as an actress. You discovered something within.
Well, that was, you know, quite a revelation that there was an interior life, which, of course, the Human Potential Movement came along after that. And then a whole world was discovering that, you know, self-awareness and consciousness. But when I started acting, we didn't know what that was, except, whoa. You know, enacted method acting classes where you were really looking at this larger beingness that you were. And, you know, I often thought, gosh, you could eliminate a lot of psychotherapy if you just send people to acting classes.
Wow, it was interesting.
It was a real learning experience about all of that. But I became fascinated. That just absolutely mesmerized me that there was this other world which consciousness is all about. And so I just continued to... become more involved in all of that, and that's when the crop circles came along. I started producing programs that had to do with consciousness, small things. This was after I was unmarried.
Mm-hmm.
I started.
And the kids had grown up.
Well, no, the kids were still little then.
Oh, really?
They were so small. I got unmarried when my kids were 3 and 8.
Wow.
Two of them were 3, and one of them was 8. Makes 3 children.
I take it 2 of them were twins.
They were.
Okay.
They were. So. But I started producing, because I was so interested in what was going on with me, and I'm just a gregarious person. I tend to be outgoing. If I'm interested, I want everybody around me to be interested, and that's the whole world. So I started producing these programs, much like salons, a lot of them, in my living room, where when interesting people would come to L.A., they would end up in my living room, and I would gather the clan. And that's
is this the same house?
Same house. Okay. Ridiculous how many years I've been in that house. We won't even say that. That would make them know I'm really old. But we won't talk about that. But then the crop circles just kind of came along as one of those things that, you know, was out there in this world of, you know, different sort of things that were coming into our awareness. And, you know, here we were doing the very long kind of endless process of discovering ourselves and growing and what have you, as the world was in real difficulty, as we all really know today. So it's hit the wall that we can't deny that. And it became ever more interesting to me to really focus on the circles, because that could change the consciousness of the world quickly. Mm. We all still have to work on ourselves. It won't preclude that. But in the meantime, while we're working on ourselves, imagine if we're in a world where we're all kind of united as a one humanity. My belief being that if we really do ascertain and believe and have contact and headlines that there is other intelligence, we'll be one humanity in relation to that. It will be one conversation on Earth, which we're not having now. We're now having one bunch of wars on Earth, you know, opposing one another.
Right.
But if you're dealing with the otherness, you're one unit dealing with all the rest, you know. Now, it's humbling, which would be so good for us, this arrogant way that we devastate the earth and feel so, feel we have such permission to kill one another in condoned ways. And, I mean, why we do war is just beyond me. Come on, haven't we gone past, you know, where it's okay to go out and shoot one another? I mean, I don't know. I just never get it. At any rate, so I think the circles could really, you know, if we paid attention to the evidence, we don't even need any more than's already there, but we don't have attention being paid, we would see that we can't make them. Something else is making them, and it would change everything.
Yeah, this is the answer that you gave to my question during the live event about, so what?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I know there are crop circles out there. And,
well, people always say that. Well, yeah, so what?
So what?
So what? So everything, you know. Go back to Galileo and see. After Galileo proved to us that Earth was not the center of the universe, just like this will prove that Earth is not, that humanity is not the only intelligence, it puts us in relation to the world in a different way. And that's what can change the sort of underlying behaviors that we exhibit.
Well, maybe in a sense then things haven't changed, because of course Galileo lived an unhappy life after he made that statement.
Well, he was under house arrest. Right. They were not too pleased about that. It didn't.
Right.
But then again, they didn't have the internet to spread the word so quickly so that people could check up and know what was going on. So he was a kind of a dangerous figure in a world of very slow communication. But once people really do pay attention to the evidence that's already in, scientific evidence, laboratory evidence, which is what we do respect, except we're not paying attention.
Right.
But they've taken, you know, plant material and soil from the circles into the lab, and there are changes that we can't account for, that we're not making. So what is? And of course, there's such intelligence in these designs of these formations. They're not just random, pretty patterns. They're very carefully thought out, and they're very sophisticated designs. So some great intelligence is really putting these, you know, into play.
Okay, so that is your assumption, or that is your knowing at this point.
Well, I know we're not making them, so what does that leave us with? Well, people say, well, what is, who knows, but it's not us, as someone in the movie says. By the way, it's whatonearththemovie.com, where you can get on the website and buy the DVD.
Right, absolutely, and find out more about it as well. And hopefully you'll be putting up updates as to where they can see it also in their
thing. Get on the website, you'll find out everything you need to know.
Right. And
things you don't need to know.
So, Suzanne, or didn't know you wanted to know. Suzanne, okay, so you make this statement like, I know this comes from a higher intelligence. So let's bring this perspective out. Now, some people think that these were made by people.
Yes, that is the only remaining possibility of all the things that they've gone through. It's not weather, it's not satellites, it's not lasers.
Not a hurricane.
None of those things. You know, they've already dismissed those.
Because the patterns are just way too interesting.
Well, it's just there's no methodology that can deliver them.
Okay.
People think, oh, you know, they can use these fancy science words, you know. Satellites. Lasers, no, doesn't work. Mm. You know, just trust me, you know, if you got into the study of it all, you would see that it doesn't work. So the only conclusion that's left is, well, must be people. Except that doesn't work
work either. Because people just can't do this.
Right. Well, the interesting thing is that as I was watching your movie, and congratulations and thank you, by the way, for making it, as I was watching it, I saw that there were scientific studies being done about the crop circles, about philosophies, ideas, formulas that haven't even been formulated yet on Earth. And so how could people be doing it? These have to be our most advanced scientists that get a bug up their butt or something to go out there and stomp on, I mean, grass. I mean,
well, the definitive evidence is a very expensive sampling process that they have done on some of them, but it really takes a lot of money to sample scientifically. You've got to take a lot of material from inside, a lot of material from outside, put it in the lab, do tests on it. But they can absolutely ascertain in the lab that there are changes to the plants and soil in the mysterious circles that aren't there in the hoax circles. And aside from that, the hoaxes have gotten better. They can do some amount of fooling us. We think of them, we estimate, because I'm really quite part of that whole cross-circle community now, but we think of them as sort of the terrorists of the cross-circle world. You know, why are they doing this? Why are they, you know, sending us on wild goose chases? I mean, it's not as deadly as the terrorists of the other world, but it certainly throws a sort of a bombshell into a world that should just be a fascinating study, you know? We should be grappling with what is this and how do we respond to it, and, you know, it distracts us from all the things that really could be helping us and how short-sighted we are not to really, even aside from the hoaxers, God knows why they're doing that, and we talk a lot about that in the film, speculating about what are they up to and why are they doing it and are they being paid, which is possibly they are being possibly paid by the government. There's some indication that there's government involvement in throwing us off track. But even beyond that, why isn't the public curious? We could say because the media hasn't given them the right stories, but what I would say is, for heaven's sakes, anything that could be helpful, be curious about it. Don't, you know, turn your back and scoff and mock at anything that conceivably could get us out of the mess we're in.
Well, you're very open-minded about a lot of things, I'm sure. So that, you know, this is not a huge sweep for you. It's actually exciting, and a lot of people don't embrace change. And
well, the power structure certainly does, because it's challenging and threatening. You know, power structures like to stay in power.
Right.
You know. And if you change the fundamentals of how the world works, who knows what will happen to them. And it's just, you know, that's kind of built in to the way societies work.
Now you say, you know, some people are being paid, and yes, there are some people making these out there. But this is not a phenomenon that's just happening just now, and it's not a phenomenon that's just happening in England. How long have they been happening, and where do they happen?
Well, first of all, they've been in about 40 countries.
40 countries.
Yeah, so England is kind of the, you know, PhD. If you've got artists out there sending stuff down, the PhD guys are the ones who are working in England, and the students, you know, the undergraduates are doing it in the other countries. although there are, you know, that doesn't mean they're terrible in the other countries. They're getting actually quite nice ones, but not as many, not as complicated. England's definitely the hot spot. And how long have they been happening? Well, you know, in the lore, in crop circle world, the first time you could definitively point to something that was in the public literature, this was a pamphlet because it was long ago and pamphlets is what they had, was 1678. It's a little thing called the Mowing Devil. Anybody who goes near crop circles knows what the Mowing Devil is. And it was a pamphlet that showed a picture of what clearly is a crop circle, probably a woodcut of some kind that did it, and then a little story about the nature of what that picture is all about. And it's just a crop circle. I mean, they weren't calling them crop circles at the time, but it clearly is a crop circle. And ever since then, about every 100 years, there's been some kind of flurry in whatever the literature of the day was that you could point to and say, oh, they're talking about crop circles. And then it didn't kind of take, you know, and the flurry would go away. And the first time that the flurry didn't go away was the 1980s, when the next flurry occurred, but that maintained, and people built on, and more people came along, and it never did go away, probably because of the nature of our communication devices that were better and better able to spread the word so that people could widely tune in, even though the world doesn't tune in, a certain selective number did. And so it's been a phenomenon that's been steadily with us since the 80s, 1980s. We do a story in the film about the 1890, I think it is, with one, the last flurry that actually went away. You can see the whole little, story of it all in our film.
Yeah, so certainly those people weren't paid back then to do this. And
well, when people talk about modern, you know, they think, oh, yes, modern this or, you know, lasers or whatever. Not that, I mean, aside from the fact it wouldn't work that way, you have to say, well, excuse me, what were they doing in 1678?
Right.
So it does go way back. Right.
And though in 1678 they weren't as intricate, so they've been getting more and more intricate, and the messages are more powerful, more meaningful.
Well, they've complexified, definitely. The quantity's increased. The complexity has had a certain progression to it, particularly a numerical progression, where it started out, and the reason they were called crop circles is because they were all not necessarily single circles, but just circular elements, like a circle with a ring around it, that's a circle too, or a circle with big circle in the center, like a five spot on the dice, with four different circles on the exterior of them, or three circles together, or two, all circles. So they call them crop circles, and the next year they have a straight line, which is typical of this winky kind of phenomenon that really kind of seems to be playing with us at some level. But then there were formations that were built on fundamental triangular shapes, then square shapes, then five-sided pentagonal shapes, then six-sided, then seven, and it's gone up and up and up to 13, which, I don't know, I guess maybe when 14 happens, it's two sevens or something, I don't know, and that has been a progression. And then over there in Circle Land, it would be like, ooh, let's see, we had 10 last year. Ooh, can't wait for 11, you know, and there it would come. So.
Right.
Yeah.
And formulas as well.
Well, there are recognizable shapes, if that's what you mean by formulas. What are you meaning
like
by
mathematical formulas? And
well, maybe you're thinking, I don't know about formulas.
Okay, sequences. You were sharing with
me. Well, the geometers will tell you that they are delivering a virtual curriculum in number and geometry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's that progression that we're talking about. And you mentioned before something about, I think you were alluding to something that Gerald Hawkins, who was the head of the astronomy department at Boston University, discerned, which is several mathematical theorems that are not in Euclid and are now in our literature because they came out of crop circles.
Right, exactly.
So that was one of the real academic types, which is rare in this phenomenon. I don't know why, except I do know why, that are paying attention. And I know why. I have a petition out that I thought I would get a lot of, because I know a lot of the well-known scientists, and I thought, come on, sign this petition, and we'll get some attention paid to this. And all the petition says is pay attention. It doesn't say they are this or they are that. It just says this is worth paying attention to. And, you know, I could not get one academic to sign it. Threatens the funding. You know, it's too dicey for them to be associated with. Very, very frustrating.
You know, it's amazing because at the very least, it's beautiful art. A lot of it.
Oh, absolutely gorgeous. In fact, we have a whole sequence in the film about the art nature of it. Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
And so just that alone, I know that there are artists around the world that do sidewalk painting, and we marvel at that, or make sand castles and you know, formations, and we marvel at that. Well, here are these really huge, I mean, it's sometimes the size of 2 football fields.
Yeah,
right?
That was the biggest one, the size of 2 foot, if you can really picture how big that is.
And
it was harder than 9, that was one that was comprised of all separate circular elements in a kind of pinwheel pattern, a Catherine wheel, actually, from biblical days. And that was the size of 2 foot, we end the film on that one, where we have a little helicopter shot from above, and you see the helicopter, and you see a circle below it. And as we pull up, up, the helicopter becomes a dot. And now you can see the whole thing spread out underneath you. And it's, I mean, it's huge. I was in that one. Spent a lot of time in that one, actually.
Wow.
And you couldn't see from one side to the other. So, well, it was also on a bit of a hill, which is very strange. if you think about hooks and how they got this absolutely perfect geometric shape
right.
on this hilly, bumpy ground,
right.
yet another kind of impossible feat for the hoaxers to accomplish.
Well, you know, Suzanne, you're saying a lot. For example, you said that, first of all, humans aren't doing most of these. And so if it's not humans, then who? And then secondly, you're saying that there already is a communication or there's an understanding. Because in one breath, you just said, well, we call them crop circles. And as soon as we name the Institute crop circles, then they winked at us by the next year giving us our first straight line.
Yes.
So they're either listening to us, if there is a they, you know, whatever it is. There's a communication going
well,
on.
Well, the honest thing that I was a little bit afraid to put much of it in the film because I was afraid it would look too unbelievable is how there is that communication going on to the simple points of people driving in a car, passing a field, and somebody will say, boy, that'd be a good spot for a crop circle. The next day there's a circle there. I mean, it's very astonishing. We tell a few of those stories in the film. I finally was persuaded, no, you have to do that because it's so common that these kind of, like the circle makers are reading our minds having to do with our interest in the circles. They don't seem to be watching us in the bedroom or anything like that, but they seem to be picking up when we have circle thoughts about crop circles. Or when there's interest, like Italy didn't have any circles, and some Italians came and they were over, got very involved in the English crop circles. They went back, they created a little event in Italy, a little conference event just about crop circles, and all of a sudden crop circles started to appear in Italy.
Mm.
It's like the circles will respond where they can feel themselves being drawn in, you know? And they will respond to our thoughts, and you'd have to see my films to see several of the examples of people meditating on a shape, and the next day, whoa, there it is.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. You know, I wanted to ask you this on Wednesday because I asked you, who are they and what are they, you know, are there lots of different ones? And you said that they hadn't revealed themselves. But isn't one of them that you show a picture, one of the crop circles is a face?
Well, yes, it is. And it's fascinating because it's been in like that matrix. I was in that one. I was one of the first ones in that one.
You can actually walk around. I mean, there's space in there because it looks so compact.
Oh, no. You know, as you see the dark and the light,
right.
The light is the place you know, so you're always walking on the down. But when you were inside that one, it was just a bunch of dots, big dots, little dots, 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 and you went, it's this, because we hadn't seen the aerial yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then the aerial, oh, my God, it's a face.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, whose face? Well, it's a face.
It's certainly not a human face as we know human.
It's an otherworldly sort of face.
Right.
You know, whatever. Looks like that face on Mars, which is a question as to whether that's a face or just an anomaly. You know, who knows?
Okay.
That is what it looks like.
So it could be a wink, too, because
yes.
it is a face
yes.
that we
yes.
attribute as an extraterrestrial.
It's facial. yes, it is. It has a certain kind of you know, charm to it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Wow. You know, so no wonder so many people have a hard time. Hold on a second.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Suzanne.
I guess I'm lucky.
Happy birthday to you.
Which is these crop circles make themselves known to humanity. Okay.
Yay.
Well, hello.
Well, hello indeed, and happy birthday.
And how very sweet.
Well, we know that your birthday was the day of our event last Wednesday, and we all talked about it beforehand amongst ourselves, and we were going to do something, and then so much happened, and of course, it was the hottest day of the year.
I'm hot, man, you know.
And
watch
then
out for me.
We got to the location, and there were people there using the space, and, you know, and there was everything just was seemingly wrong.
Uh-huh.
In the end, there was so much right, and we're happy that we happen to have you here today as well, that we can
Golly.
Say happy birthday.
You're beautiful.
We didn't forget.
Oh, Thank you very much. Unexpected pleasure.
Well, and it matches your shirt. It does very well.
Isn't that funny?
Your shirt has another crop circle on it, like the shirt you were wearing.
Oh, what do you know? A crop circle on my shirt.
Do you have a line?
Sounds like a comedy routine.
Do you have a line? What's your line?
What's my line? Right. Well, I have a lot of T-shirts.
That have crop circles on them. Okay. Well, you know what? You have a lot of things that we would just love to talk to you. Well, we love talking to you as often as we get to see you.
Send them to my website now. Don't forget.
Yes, no, of course. You have so many of them, but which one?
WhatOnEarthTheMovie.com.
Okay.
And you click right on buy the DVD. Now, you can look around at all the other things, fascinating things. But don't forget buy it. Oh, by the way, when you're on the website, run your mouse over the big circle that comes up on the home page, because there's a little surprise in there. It's quite cute.
Yeah, I didn't see that, actually.
You have to sort of accidentally run your mouth, or else you listen to me, who says, run your mouth.
And so the movie, hopefully, will be out by this fall.
It's going to be a huge internet campaign. We're just making plans now.
Okay.
There's going to be a huge blitz on the internet, because the UFO audience is the second biggest on the net. And as So I've been getting...
Second to what? Let me guess.
Yeah. We're back to that again.
It
has been, you know, I've been dickering. How do I roll this film out? What's the sequence of things? Movie theaters, festivals, blah, 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 blah. And I've been convinced now, and I'm studying with a mentor, that rolling it out is a huge blitz on the internet to pick the low-hanging fruit, as I said before, make my money back, which will allow me to fund the various other ways that the film will get released. So that's what's going to happen. You're going to be inundated on the net.
Oh, good. I can't wait. And actually, those of you who are not either on our fan list or on Suzanne's fan list, by all means, you can go to our website and her website as well and put your names on our list so that we can notify you of more information about Suzanne. Well,
about the Facebook page, you know, just /OneOnEarth after Facebook.
Right.
And you find out all about our event was on there, you know, the one that you and I did.
Right, absolutely.
This is on there.
Absolutely.
Everything is on there.
So by all means, go to that. She's referring to facebook.com/whatonearth.
Right.
And, of course, facebook.com/lifechangesfilippo. And we're connecting on all of that. We're hooked up, and we're happy to know you, and we look forward to more interesting, exciting information and times with you. We're talking to Suzanne Taylor, producer and director of What on Earth Inside the Crop Circle Mystery, and you'll find out more information on our website and at whatonearththemovie.com. Thank you, Suzanne, and happy birthday.
Well, thank you. Even nicer than I thought it was going to be here.
So. Stick around so we can take a picture afterwards. We're almost done. Okay? And now we have our State of the Universe address with our very own Dorothy Lee.
Fire intelligence, and I use the sacred of the crop circles in my healing practice. In fact, my business card has a beautiful and powerful piece of artwork on it, which is called the Purification Code. I started using the code in the early part of 2006 when I discovered this very interesting artist, Janosch, who brings crop circle art to life. Janosch's stated mission is to reach as many as possible in order for them to have a magnificent art form, which he and I believe comes from a new dimension. As Suzanne Taylor has shared with us tonight, the mystery of crop circles fascinates thousands of people, and Janosch's spiritual discussions, scientific examinations, and all kinds of explanations vivid in our minds. These intriguing holograms correspond exactly with the big crop circles. When Janosch first started painting these holograms, he didn't even know that crop circles existed. However, soon afterward, a friend told him that his artwork depicted real crop circles that appear mysteriously around the world. And he soon discovered that every crop circle contains a different code that corresponds with a specific part of human consciousness. All of his holograms have their own specific title, like purification, openness, integration, illusion, etc. And they also come with a channeled explanation, which he believes comes from conversations with the Arcturians. For example, he has this to say about the purification. Before we can heal ourselves, we first need to come clean with ourselves. The energy of purification will help you to forgive yourself for making choices you did not understand completely at the time. Once you are free of regret and self-pity, you can start healing yourself, after which you will automatically heal everyone around you with radiant, unconditional love. According to Janos, the most recent crop circles are the beginning of a new level of communication by means of the crop circles codes. We believe that the various crop circle formations are here to stimulate and awaken us. Most of the crop circles have complex forms, which are known as sacred geometry. These forms are used because we live in a mathematical universe, and the sacred geometry codes given us in the form of crop circles contain more powerful than any written language. Janos describes sacred geometry as the ancient spiritual science that finds deep meaning in the remarkable consistent mathematical ratios found in the natural world. He believes, and I concur, that each crop circle contains a different code that has a specific influence on the subconscious mind. Janos says that this part of our mind absorbs these codes energetically, after which they continue to work through our consciousness. Sacred geometry echoes in every person in the world, no matter what language they speak. As Suzanne shared with us, the crop circles have become more and more complicated the last couple of years. Janos and I believe that this is due to the spiritual growth of the consciousness of mankind. We believe that if mankind opens up to the knowledge stored in these formations, and if the consciousness grows of those observing the formations, it will be easier to absorb and understand this knowledge. The more sacred geometry there is within the formations, the more the growth of mankind will be stimulated. We believe that the formations of the last few years are responsible for the higher consciousness of mankind, which we trust is happening now. I was thrilled to learn that Janos has appeared before the United Nations twice, sharing his work and giving his opinions as to the meanings of these amazing works of art. For an artist who swears that he is channeling beings from the planet Arcturus to be invited to share his knowledge and his work with all of the members of the United Nations is a very powerful statement to the world. Janos believes that the Arcturians are constantly assisting and supporting us in the process of awakening to a higher state of consciousness through the use of sacred geometry. And I completely agree with him. You can learn more about Janos and his remarkable art and the channelings by going to our website, www.lifechangeswithfilippo.com, and click on to Changing Media in the navigation bar. There you will find a link for the Arcturian codes. I urge you to study the codes and read the channelings. They can and will help change your life for the better. Until next week, please choose to love yourself enough to make very conscious and elegant choices. And please know that you are loved, you are lovable, and you are loved.
Thank you, Dorothy, with that State of the Universe address. And in this case, it is certainly a State of the Universe address, as some would say, multi-universe, because we now know that there's more than just one universe, which is mind-boggling to me, but there is so much going on that we are learning here, and part of why we are all doing this, and it's very exciting to be a part of it. So welcome to Life Changes. And that is our show for today. I don't know how time flies so quickly, and yes, we are having fun, so that would explain it. We'd like to thank again Suzanne Taylor for being with us and remind you all to see the movie or get the movie at www.whatonearththemovie.com, and also invite you to go to our website and you can learn more about her and hear this show again in our archives by clicking on the respective links for that information. We look forward to being together again when we're going to have another exciting guest next week. We remember to keep this conversation going during the week by visiting us and writing us at our website and also on our Facebook pages. We each have collective individual Facebook pages, and then our fan page collectively, Life Changes with Filippo on Facebook. You can also Twitter us. My goodness, there are so many ways to stay in touch. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems. Change your water, change your life, and Love and Miracles. To learn more about them, visit our sponsor page on our website and click on their links. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and it has been my pleasure being of service today by hosting Life Changes. I, along with our producers, Dorothy Lee, Mark Leger, and Mark Skelton, and our engineer, Seth, thank you for joining us and being part of the show and being part of the change we all wish to see in the world. Ciao.
You have been listening to Life Changes with your master of change, Filippo Voltaggio. Join us here every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and visit us on the web at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. And follow our community on Facebook at Life Changes with Filippo. Join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes.